This is Authors in Focus.
I'm James Reed, fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. My newest fantasy series is going strong. Readers have enjoyed Diamond Stain, and now Oban and Avena return for their fifth and final story. Things have never been more dangerous. They have survived the chaos of Kash, explored the dark mysteries of the Ruby Ruins, protected the Obsidian Mind, and obtained the Emerald Strength. But can they survive the Amethyst Shattering? The entirety of the five-book Secret of the Jewel series is out on Amazon and free in Kindle Unlimited. Today, I'm joined by Poppy Kuroki, the fantasy author of the emotional A Bard's Lament.
Hi, how are you doing today, Poppy?
Hi, I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm a day behind you.
Yes, it's I would say good morning, but I think it's good evening for you.
It's good afternoon. It's 3 p.m. where I'm at.
Oh, nice, great.
Yep.
So, like, what? 16 hours behind ish. Maths is not my strong suit.
No. Let's see, you're 7 and it's 13 hours.
4 plus 12, 16 hours?
Yeah, I think it's 13.
Somewhere around that ballpark, anyway.
Or 16. I don't know. I can't do math. We're not here to do math. We're writers, and that's we're not here to talk about writing. So anyways, Poppy, it's really great to talk to you. For our listeners, Poppy has been my editor for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, that long already.
Yeah, you first did The Assassin's Remorse, my first short story I published.
Yeah, I think we made friends on Twitter, didn't we? And I liked that story a lot.
I might have
said to you, oh, it's really great, but there's like one or two typos. And then that's how I became your editor, right?
I got torn apart by a review on Amazon.
Oh dear.
And then I went on Twitter and like, I need to find an editor. And you're like, I'm an editor. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And we had sort of been chatting already because, you know, we had the same last name back then.
Yes, maiden name. Spelled the same too, which is quite unusual.
Yes, yes. Well, I have never met anyone in America. I guess it's more common over in Scotland.
Yeah, I think so. Well, it's actually my stepfather's name, and his father's Jamaican, so maybe they were, like, slaves in Scotland a long time ago or something like that.
Well, as I understand, it means the guy with red hair.
Probably.
Yeah. It's like, I guess, red used to be pronounced Reed.
Oh, okay, there you go. Yeah. I didn't even think about it like that.
Yeah. So, I like to start these out with some fun questions. Are you a dwarf person or an elf person, Poppy?
Oh, well, I used to be an elf person, like straight through all the RPGs. I was always an elf. But recently, I know it's not on the list, but I'm more of like an orc person now. I love the tanks. Uh-huh. So I suppose that would be dwarf, wouldn't it?
Yes. Although every dwarf will now be insulted that you compared them to an orc. But we'll just excuse that because they're fictional.
Sorry to all the dwarfs listening.
So, if you could have dinner with one historical figure, alive or dead, who would that be?
Ooh, like a real person or like a fictional person?
Yes, a real person.
A real person? Ooh, nice question. I don't know, maybe Kennedy?
Of course. Oh, I thought you meant his father.
Oh, both of them, why not?
Was a notorious bootlegger. All right, so how long have you wanted to be a writer, Poppy?
Oh, well, a lot of writers will say this, but I was writing stories since I was a little kid. Like, I don't know how it works in the States, but in primary school, elementary school, we would have, like, a bell when it was time for break, for recess. And then the bell would ring twice if it was raining, and we'd stay inside.
Uh-huh.
So, even though looking back, it was probably really stressful for teachers to have the kids stay inside during the break and, like, you know, grab books and papers and stuff. The kids loved it. They'd always cheer when the bell rang twice, and it was the UK, so it rained a lot. So I was always happy when we didn't have to go outside because I could just like grab a piece of paper and just like write a story. I think I wrote a story about like aliens or something when I was in year 6, which is like 10 years old. That's the earliest I remember writing.
Yeah, I went to school up here in Western Washington, which rains about as much as it does in the UK. And they just sent us outdoors. Although we did have a very large cover that like a very large like covered area that had like basketball hoops and stuff like that. But they would let us go run out in the rain if we wanted to.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure why they didn't let us go out when it rained. But yeah, we enjoyed staying inside.
And I think I have a
fighting time. So.
I think I have a decade on you. So maybe it was just the fact it was the 80s and they didn't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what led you to publishing?
Oh, well, you remember my adventure when I was like 17, 18. That's about time when we met, wasn't it? About 10 years ago? No, it was after that. It was way after that.
You were already living in Japan, so I had to imagine you were older than 17.
Yes, right, okay. So I wrote that fantasy trilogy when I was 17, and yeah, that's when I didn't know anything about self-publishing, so I kind of did it, and then I met that really bad publisher who, they didn't know what they were doing either. So after that, I was kind of put off for ages, like a really long time. But then after I ghost wrote, I mean, you know, you've been with me. But
yes, I do remember.
So after I started ghostwriting and people were leaving such nice reviews, and I don't just mean good job, I mean stuff like, wow, your writing is so high quality, you brought my story to life, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, if strangers who are paying me are saying that, maybe I'm doing something right. So that's when I dug out A Bard's Lament, which, as you said before, I actually wrote it like 2 or 3 years ago. I dug it out and like, obviously my writing has, I like to think, has gotten better quality since then. So I rewrote it, and I got the cover that I had made back then too, and decided to go with self-publishing because it's, I've been watching like courses and things like that and how to do it right. So I'm actually really enjoying it this time round. Now I actually know what I'm doing.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, your first two novels, they were rough gems, but they definitely had a lot of interesting stuff in them. I mean, I enjoyed your characters.
Well, thank you. That's, I mean, I was, 17 to like 19 or 20 when I wrote them.
Right.
And I know now that they weren't that good, but they weren't that bad either. And I think that's important. Like, I was on my way to, you know, learning how to write and stuff like that. So I think it was a really good experience.
And your writing definitely has improved. I mean, the A Bard's Lament was amazing when I wrote it, a few years ago. And your novel you wrote about the thief, I can't remember the name, but that one was really, really amazing.
Oh, thank you. I'm actually going to, it's called Oath. I'm going to publish that later this year.
Nice.
Yeah, it's with an editor right now, so.
All right, so but let's talk a bit about A Bard's Lament. It's about Ella. She starts out playing in a bar, and she is having to watch her sister's activities she doesn't approve of.
Yeah, well, they live together, and they inherited their mother's debt, which is a lot of money. So they have to earn they pay half of their earnings to the landlord, to whom they owe money to. So Ella, because Ella's got a gift for music, she plays the lute and sings, but her sister doesn't really have any talent. So instead she sells her body, and they want to sort of get rid of the debt so that they can actually move on with their own lives.
Okay. And, where did the idea for the story come from?
For the story itself, for the character itself, I mean, you might already know this, but I really like that YouTuber Maluka. She does video game music and stuff, and people have referred to her as a bard. Yeah.
Yes, she definitely, I can definitely believe that. She's got some really beautiful music. She does like bardic covers of like Skyrim songs and Dragon Age songs.
Yeah, she just did the song from Dragon Age Inquisition. I'm blanking on the name, but she just did that like a week or two ago.
Nice.
I really liked her, like, as a person as well. Like, she always kind of paid attention to her fans and things like that. So I really wanted to... I thought, I don't know that many stories about bards. I'm sure there are some. But, you know, most stories focus on, like, a hero, like a chosen one with, like, a sword and, like, or a royal heritage or something. And bards are usually like a side character in the background. So I thought, oh, what would a bard have in her life? Like, I didn't want to write a story about someone who was like chosen to save the world. Stories like that are totally great. But the idea sort of developed from there. Like the feeling of helplessness when you know bad stuff's happening around you, but you can't do anything about it, mixed with Maluka. And that's where the idea for a bard's lament was born.
Awesome. That is that's really great. That's you're the first person to be inspired by a YouTube songwriter.
I know. The ideas can come from such random places, can't they?
Yes, they can. So, are there anything else you want to tell the listeners about a bard's lament? Give them some tease for why this is such an amazing story, without spoiling it, of course.
Sure. Yeah. I think you'll like this story if you like. Sort of, you're looking for a book that's not really about sort of slaying the dragon and rescuing the girl and having a happy ending, which whereas if you stories like that are great, but this story's more of it's more about someone who doesn't really have that much power, and it doesn't have I'm not going to say it's like a happy or sad ending, but yeah, like you said, I shouldn't spoil it really, but
I mean,
it's not the happiest tale out there. So if you don't like sad stories, sorry, probably maybe you want to skip this one.
Oh, you don't want to skip it. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. She's going to tug on your heartstrings.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I hope so.
So
it just came out. Sorry, it just came out on the 31st, which just happened.
Yes, it'll be just a couple of days after this podcast is live. So there will be a link to it in the description. Everyone who listens to this, I really urge you to check it out. Poppy is an amazing author, and you're going to love it.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Always improving. So,
are you a plotter or a pantser?
Oh, I always do an outline first, always. But along the way, I'll usually get more ideas and add more things. So the first draft is always like the first draft is always about 60%. As long as the final product will be. So it's really bare bones. But I always have a beginning, middle, and end in mind. I never start off as a complete pantser. Because I usually stop at like chapter 2 or 3 and give up.
Fair enough. That's interesting. Most indie authors I interview tend to be pantsers.
So if they can do that and they can create a whole story, that's amazing.
Like I've pantsed Above the Storm.
Basically. No way! Really?
Well, I pantsed that entire series.
You did not, really? Because everything connected together. It was really cool. I wouldn't have believed.
Yeah, I had no idea how I was ending that series when I started. But...
what?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that. Obviously, I edited it, but reading it, I wouldn't have thought that you didn't know what you were doing. That's hilarious.
Like, I started outlining individual books by the end, and I think by the time I was middle way through book 3, I was more sure of where the story was going, because I had to commit to certain character decisions, like Zori's storyline, for instance, I had to commit to, and how that, and like what happened at the end of book 4 between her and Shailene, and so like I knew that.
Starting... What happened to Zori deserved better.
Yeah, well, sometimes authors are mean.
That's true.
But we're going to talk about your books.
Okay.
So how heavily do you stick to your outlines?
Well, I make them kind of bare on purpose so that I can, adjust along the way. But I'll have an outline, but I don't really, like for a short story I'm writing right now, I had the beginning and I had the end, but I didn't know how the character was going to go from A to C, right? Actually, it's an origin story for Langley from Oath. So since you've read it, you might remember him.
Oh, maybe. I read that book, but... A year or two ago?
It's okay.
Sure if I got some context, I'd remember who Langley is. But
cool. He's like the male assassin who Colette like kind of makes friends with. But,
okay. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Okay, that's pretty cool.
So it's his origin story, how he became an assassin. Nice. And then after I started writing it, I got the ideas after I started writing. So it was kind of half pantsed, that one. But
okay. Yeah, I find I have to do more outlining these days.
Especially for a big series.
Yeah, well, like Mass Hyde, I didn't know who was going to be my final villain. and who is going to be Funari's final love interest.
Oh, yeah.
So there's three characters I kind of was toying with, although one I kind of discarded in book one. But the other two, I wasn't exactly sure until book four.
Okay, I'm kind of aware of one of the possibilities, so let's see where that goes.
We could talk about that offline.
We can.
But, so, what is ghostwriting like?
It's fun, but it's hard work, and sometimes you get really weird stories to edit. And most clients actually so far have been really, really nice and really open to suggestions as well. Like, part of my package is I'll read their outline, and if there's a part that doesn't make sense or could be improved, I will suggest it. I won't just write it blindly like some ghostwriters might. And they're usually quite receptive. Is that the right word? Usually quite happy about that.
Yes.
I should know, really, shouldn't I? It's weird, like some clients will have a whole outline, dialogue included. Some people will give me half a page of notes and be like, okay, can you write 10,000 words, please? So it's been mostly positive, but it's a lot of hard work. Like, I'm a complete perfectionist. Like, I'll go through it like three times before I submit. So for the time, it takes a lot of time. But yeah, like I said, it got my confidence in writing back. So
yeah, and that's it's great.
Paying my bills too, so I can't complain.
So how did you get into ghostwriting?
Oh, this is a funny story. So obviously I've been editing for a long time with you and other people.
Yeah.
Actually, it might have been you who suggested that lady, and I've forgotten her name now, but I'm pretty sure I got her as a client from you recommending me. She was that Christian romance writer. And I probably shouldn't say too much, but I was editing her stuff, and I kind of threw some suggestions her way. I said, okay, you kind of say "and then" far too much, or you need some more character descriptions. Just gave her some general like tips. And she turned around, she said, okay, I'll tell my ghostwriter that. And I was like, oh my, she hires a ghostwriter? Because the writing quality wasn't terrible, but it wasn't good either. You know what I mean? It was kind of like quite basic, which is, I'm really not trying not to be horrible, but it was like, you know what I mean? Like I helped as much as I could. You know what I mean? Like, I gave her loads of tips. And I was thinking, oh, okay, so she writes, she pays someone to write this. Maybe I could do that, you know? So I've got her to thank, really, because I started doing it after that, and it pays. I get more clients than editing clients, which is really interesting. I didn't realize how many people want other people to write their books for them.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Especially in the romance genre. Is that where a lot of your customers come from?
Oh, I've written paranormal, I've written fantasy, like, it's all across the board, really.
Okay.
I think I've done one romance so far, yeah. But yeah, I was so surprised, like, for every one editing client I get, like, five ghostwriting clients.
Well, I'm glad you are paying your bills.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to do it with my own books, like you are. That's the end goal. But,
Well, yeah, I have to ghostwrite to pay my bills too, so.
Oh, there you go. So, I hope.
But I'm hoping with my. No, I'm sorry. What were you just saying?
Oh, I was just saying I ghostwriting's good because obviously I can do it from home. I don't have to commute to Tokyo. You know, like, I'm enjoying it more than I was enjoying teaching. So.
Since you moved what, 2 hours out of the city now?
Yeah. I still go to one student because I really like her and I stay for 2 hours, so it's quite worth it, but even that takes just over an hour to get to her place, and that's in like central Tokyo. So no, you're right, if I was still commuting to my regular job, it'd be pretty miserable at this point.
Oh, I remember how miserable you were at that job. What are those jobs you had?
Oh, that was probably the blog, the
magazine
one,
right?
Yeah, that was because of the boss, though, not the commute. The commute was fine. It was just the boss was a total idiot. Good times.
Yeah, you were living in Shibuya at the time, right, when you were working there?
Yes, I worked at Shibuya, which meant I could actually walk to the office, which was good. But then we moved a little farther out.
To that that place by the river. I seem to recall the high-rise apartment. Yeah.
Yeah, but there was actually a place in between Shibuya and the high-rise apartment too. But we didn't live there for that long. But yes. No, the job itself was okay. It was just the boss was an idiot. But yes, the bottom line is don't have to commute in ghostwriting, so it's good.
Yes, it's nice working from home. So, what advice can you offer to new or aspiring authors?
I'd say learn as much as you can about writing. Read a lot. Like, it surprises me how many writers like don't read. Like, that's kind of strange to me. And I might annoy a lot of people by saying that, because a lot of people on Twitter say that, like, oh, I don't read, I just write. I mean, personally, I think you should write. I mean, you should read at least in your genre if you want to write, because I've had my prose improved a lot by reading really good books. I'd also say if you're writing, then maybe start with a very basic outline and also pay a lot of attention to your characters. Like, don't just have cardboard cutouts. Like, have a whole page of notes of like their appearance, personality, fears, hobbies, anything relevant to the story.
Oh God, a whole page.
A whole page.
You don't want to see my character notes. And...
Why, have you got like 18 pages for each one?
Oh God, no. I have like I could fit like 3 characters on a page.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it doesn't have to be a whole page, just as much as, you know, as much as you need. But
yeah.
And also listen to feedback, like just listen to feedback and don't just get feedback from like your family. You know?
Yeah, no, that's good.
And listen, don't take it personally.
Constructive criticism. Yes. Constructive criticism. You'll know the difference between that and just assholes.
Yes, exactly. So.
All right. So what's next for you in your writing career?
Oh, yeah. I'm working on Oath now and some origin stories. And I was thinking of writing. I actually started a sequel because everyone says you have to write series, but I'm not too sure if that's going to take off yet. I haven't found the, you know what I mean? I haven't found the spark in the sequel yet.
All right.
Oath is coming.
I mean,
Oath is coming near the end of this year.
When I read Oath, I could actually have seen it as like a trilogy if you had, because you could have taken some more time on her training and then, like, I think I talked to you about it, like my views on what you could have done. But, you know, that's me. And obviously, you got to – that's one of the things you got to do as a writer is, like, when you give advice, you shouldn't be telling a person how to write their book your way. I think that's important. And it's something all writers can be guilty of.
Oh, yeah. There's a fine line between, like, feedback and
– Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, because you'd be like, well, this is what I would do, and you should change this, 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 and next thing you know, you've rewritten their entire book. And just for new authors out there looking for editors, I saw this on a Brandon Sanderson podcast, and this is something he said. He's like, if your editor rewrites your book, they're not a good editor. You should find someone else who's more in line with your vision.
Yeah, they should definitely help you with improving what you have, not offering a totally different, minor changes are totally fine, of course, but.
You just usually, and especially on my first series, actually, you tended to point out, like, you maybe you should have this sort of scene to give, flesh this out a bit more, and, because, which you seem to haven't been doing my newer stuff, but, so I guess I've been getting better at that.
I haven't needed to. Yeah, I haven't needed to as much. Like, I give you the same, you know, level of scrutinization. As I did with the first series, but yeah, the series have been, I mean, this book I just edited for you has been like, there were no parts where I thought you needed more of or less of something particularly. Like, there was just one question I asked near the end, I think, and that was it.
I just went through those edits today.
I mean, you just said you've outlined more, so that probably shows in the final part that you've actually
planned. I definitely outlined the individual books a lot better. Like, I know all the big high points and stuff. And it's just usually I more pants the connective tissue and the emotional stuff.
Right.
Although my book 4, I'm a little worried about, because I had to throw my ending out because I went completely off script at the last moment.
Oh.
In the middle of writing a scene, I had a character. It's one of the few times the characters have gotten out of my control. And it went in a really dark direction.
keep it. I love Doc.
Oh, no, I do. I kept it, and I used the emotional impact of it into the next book. And it wrapped up my love triangle. Yeah, that love triangle was ended.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it was really great talking with you, Poppy.
Thanks for having me. Had a good time.
Yeah. If you want to tell our listeners where they can find you on the internet.
Yeah, I'm at Poppy Kuroki, that's KUROKI.com, and all my social media and stuff's on there too, and links to books and things like that. So yeah, give me a visit, poppykuroki.com.
Yep, all right. It was great having you.
Thank you. Have a nice afternoon / evening.
And you have a great morning.
Thank you so much.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com, and follow me on Twitter at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.